Now, let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians is after Philippians, near the end of your Bible. Like I said in our offering, we're going to be speaking about the family for the next 2 or 3, maybe 4 weeks. And I really believe that this is absolutely one of the most important aspects of the Christian life. So I really want us to pray right now that the Lord would bless as we dive into His Word concerning the Christian home, that the Holy Spirit would really work on our hearts, and that we would see Him change us where we need to change, and to strengthen us as families, that we might be able to be a great influence on others and their families, and be a great influence on this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I really believe one of the ways that our light can shine is by having a home that is Christ-centered. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, everything we do is for naught if it's not with You as our motivation. Father, I pray that because of what Jesus has done for us, because of who He is, because of the marvelous grace that You have shown us through Him, that we would seek to be the best mom, dad, wife, husband, child that we can be, so that You are honored and glorified in our lives, so that we can experience the blessings of having You at the center of our homes, so that we can be salt and light to this world, a wonderful witness to them of Your marvelous grace. Lord, this world needs Your presence in their family. Lord, we are seeing our society decay because of the decay of our family. Not because of outside evil forces, but because of inside degradation of our families. Lord, help us to see that today. And help us to be motivated to have the best Christ-centered families we can have. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn your attention to verse 17 of chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. It says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Last week, or the week before, I was in a minister's training network meeting where many of you have taken classes from the ministry training network. We get together and we try and think about courses that would help our people in our church to become strong leaders in the church so that they can equip other believers to live for Christ. And one of the men there was very wise in stating that we need some courses to help families know what it means to be a Christian family. Now, this was coming from a man who has been a counselor, a Christian family counselor, for 30 years and has counseled thousands of families. And his comment was this: today, families don't know what it means to be a biblical family. They don't have a clue what it means. They have no idea what a biblical marriage or family looks like. That was his very words. This is coming from someone that does know because of his exposure. And so it's very important that we, as a church, help our families know what it means to be a biblical, Christ-centered family. And so I can't think of a better time than Father's Day to start off a series where we focus on the family and we try and give some biblical principles and practical instruction to our families so that they can know what it means and so they can apply these principles to their lives so that they can have a Christ-centered family. So today we come to an extremely important subject, the Christian home. I say it is extremely important because the state of our homes now will have a lot to do with the state of our society in the future. The state of our home will also have a big impact on the futures of our children and grandchildren. We've got a lot of children in this church. We've got grandchildren. We want to see them come raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we want to see them serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. That's what this life is all about. Our families are all about. Also, the state of our homes will have a great impact on our church and the future of the church as a whole, in general. I can't wait to see what God does with the young people in our church. I see future missionaries. I see future ministers for the Lord. I see future people that will be supportive of their local church and do what they can to help the cause of Christ. That is awesome to think about. The impact for the kingdom of God that can happen. And it all starts with us. It all starts with us having godly homes where our children can know what it means to serve the Lord. And so I hope today that we'll take a look at this passage and see what it means to have a Christ-centered home. The church is only as strong as the families that are in it. I've said that many times. God has chosen the church to function as the mode to get the good news of Jesus Christ out to this world. And so the other thing he has ordained is a family. So this family structure within the church needs to be strong in order for us to accomplish the goal that God has for us of spreading the gospel. This is why it is so important that we have Christ-centered homes. Notice what it says in verse 17. It says, and this is no coincidence that this is right before the Apostle Paul addresses the home. He says, in whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So, right off the bat, I want us to understand that our focus and our motivation for having a good home is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. You know, a few weeks ago I mentioned to you that without Jesus Christ, I'm just giving you moral stories to go by. I'm giving you a lesson on moral character. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. Just having a family that you don't have to get your kids out of jail every other week is not motivation for raising your kids the right way. The ultimate motivation for you having a great marriage and a great family and raising your children well is Jesus Christ. It's that motivating factor. Jesus Christ. Honoring Him, loving Him in your family is what will really make the difference. Because not only does it give us motivation, the right motivation, but it gives us access to the grace we need. You know, before Christy and I had kids, we were so stupid. We would look at other families and we would say, oh, not us. Oh, no, that's not going to be us. Oh, no, we're going to do things totally different. We had all the answers to parenting and how it was going to all work out. Oh, boy, like I said, we were wrong. We were totally wrong. And, you know, we... Now, I realize that it's only by the grace of God that our kids aren't axe murderers. Really. It's only by God's grace. It really is. Before we had kids, we had all the answers, and I knew that we would be able to raise wonderful children because we would do this, 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 and this. Well, that was crazy. This, this, and this got thrown out the window, right? And we just begged God to give us grace that our kids would turn out good. That's what you have access to. God's grace through Jesus Christ. The same grace that was given to you so that you could have eternal life is the same grace that God will give you so that you can have a Christ-centered home. That's what we need to understand. So, these principles work best when they are applied with Jesus Christ as the center. When we're looking for Him to really do the real work in our hearts and in our children's hearts, and we're looking for Him to work in ways that we can. But we're also looking to follow His ways. And so as we do this, as I give you some practical advice for your marriage and your family today, and for the next couple weeks, remember, this is to be focused and centered on Jesus Christ. And that's how it will work best. So, we're going to talk about a little bit about the role of mom and dad and husband and wife today. And then next week, we're going to talk about the children's role and the parents' role. And so today, we're going to kind of focus on the marriage relationship. And then, of course, we're going to be focusing a little bit more on marriage as we get through 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So, you know, people have a negative view of marriage. People have a negative view of marriage. Let me give you some quotes that show that. Marriage means commitment. Of course, so does insanity. Marriage is a great institution, but I'm not ready for an institution. My wife says I never listen to her. At least I think that's what she said. I never knew what real happiness was until I got married. And by then it was too late. But that shouldn't be the Christian's view of marriage. We should have a positive view of marriage because Christ wants us to have a great marriage. And that's what I want us to see here. When we have our eyes focused on Christ and how what He wants us to do in our marriage, we can have a great marriage. We really can. Is it going to be perfect? No, because we're not perfect people. But we can have a great marriage. that will get us through, that will keep us strong in difficult times. The first thing I want you to see is in verse 18. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." So the first principle I see here is the Christ-centered home consists of a wife who submits to the authority structure the Lord has designed. Now, I want you to notice that God sees it fit. God sees it fit and therefore has designed this structure of authority where a wife is to submit to the leadership of her husband. Now, this leadership design did not come from our culture, and it comes from God. This is how God designed the structure. The one who created us and knows us better than anyone designed this structure. Therefore, you and your family will function best as you submit to the leadership of your husband. Now, I hope we'll understand what it means to submit to the leadership of your husband. Because your definition of this is very important. So I want to tell you what it doesn't mean. What it doesn't mean is submission to your husband does not mean that you're trusting in him to make the right decisions. Let me repeat that. Submission to your husband does not mean that you are trusting in him to make the right decisions. Now, understand something, wives. Your husband's going to make a lot of bad decisions. He's going to make bad decisions. So if you're trusting in him to make the right decisions, you're going to be disappointed. Okay? Here's what it means. Submission means trusting in the Lord that he is going to work out your husband's decisions for your good and your family's good and God's glory. That's what it means. So it's not trusting in your husband's decision-making process that you are submitting to. It is submitting to God and knowing that God will work out whatever decisions your husband makes. And so you see the difference there? You're trusting that the Lord is going to work through whatever decisions your husband makes. Remember, it's Christ-centered. You're focused on Christ. And so, you and your husband can discuss things, and by all means, husbands, and we'll talk about this later, take the counsel and of your wife and don't just make decisions without her counsel. But when you make a decision, just trust that the Lord is going to work it out. Trust that he's going to work it out. And I promise you, it will work out much better. It will work out much better. You see, it's not easy to do this. I understand that. You can be at peace because you're trusting God and giving God control. One of the problems that all of us have, whether male or female, have in our lives is giving God control, right? Letting him control our lives. But there's great peace in letting him control our lives. There's great peace. And so when your husband has to make a decision, just give it to God and say, "Lord, you're in control." And then you can be at peace about it. And knowing that whatever ramifications come, those ramifications are going to work out for your good and God's glory. Okay? Now, so we know that what we don't want to do What submission doesn't mean. So what does it mean? Well, there's a few things. A few practical things that I think wives can do to really show their supportive role in the marriage. First of all, she can show confidence in his decision making. Now, understand something. Men, a lot of men, they don't want to make a lot of decisions because they don't want to be responsible for the decisions. Okay? But we have to, because that's our, we got to make decisions because that's part of what God wants us to do. Our confidence can be eroded very quickly. Very quickly. And you can erode it, wives, faster than anyone. Okay? So you've got to build up your husband. You've got to give him confidence that the decisions he's making, God's going to work through them. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have input, but you've got to give him confidence in his decision making. If your husband is going to fulfill his God-given role as a leader of the family, you will need to give him confidence to do so. Otherwise, he will give up. Now, here's what happens a lot of times. Husband makes a decision, doesn't turn out exactly right. Wife points out why he made the wrong decision and says, okay, this is what you should have done, and criticizes him for it. Okay? After a while, husband says, I'm done making the decisions. Then the wife is burdened with making all the decisions. And she's left in an insecure place in her life. And bearing all the responsibility that she was never intended to bear on her own. Okay? So let's see that. Okay? Build up confidence in your husband. He makes a mistake, you know it's stupid, but don't throw it in his face. Just say, don't worry about it, honey. We'll get through it, and let's try better next time, okay? You know, that's how you do it. That's how you work, okay? And not only that, a second thing is she doesn't bring up past offenses that he has already asked forgiveness for. You know, if something has been dealt with, if your husband has done something against you and he's asked for forgiveness and you said you forgave him, forget it. Don't keep throwing it in his face. Don't keep throwing it up in his face. And of course, that goes for the husband as well. Let's forgive like Christ forgave us. Jesus Christ, when he forgave us, he wiped those sins away. And he threw them in the sea of his forgetfulness. That's what we're told, right? So we need to be like that in our relationships with others, especially our spouse. Don't throw past failures in his face. Think of ways that you can help him overcome some of his failures. Pray for him. And this will be much more helpful. And will show that you're willing to be in that role that God has asked you to be in. And then thirdly, she is grateful for her God-given role as keeper of the home. Now, I've seen women, ladies, sacrifice and destroy their family because they put their careers as a priority over their family, their children and their husband. Now, I don't have a problem with women in the workforce. Okay, so don't paint me as some archaic kind of guy. However, we must not forget. I'll give you a little sidebar here. Mary knows. Mary Farmer is here, and she's from the church I was the associate pastor in. And when I was the associate pastor, I could say and do whatever I wanted and get away with it. It was wonderful. The pastor would just buffer me from everybody, and they would just say, well, that's just Bill, you know, that's just the associate pastor, no big deal. One of the things that I did that was kind of crazy, someone emailed me a 1950s article of Good Housekeeping where it talked to wives and what they should do for their husbands. You know, have a nice quiet place for him to come when he gets home and take his shoes off for him and make sure he's got his coffee or whatever when he comes home and have his meal on the table exactly at the right time every night and all this other stuff. But one of the other things it said was, and this was the kicker, it said, never question his judgment. He's always right. I thought, oh, wow, this is wonderful. And I read it from the pulpit one morning on Sunday, and I had all the ladies mad at me after that, didn't I, Mary? Yeah, see, I could get away with stuff back then, but as the pastor, I can't get away with that too much anymore. And so anyways, yeah. Now, you know, you as ladies are equipped to be the mom and keeper of the home like your husband is not, like he is not. You have been equipped by God to do things that he's not capable of, okay? And I'm sure he's shown you that he's not capable, okay? So anyways, but God wants your first priority as a mom and as a wife to be to take care of your home. That is what he asks for your first priority to be. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a career, but don't make that career more important than your family, because it will show and it will be a detriment to your family. So don't sacrifice your kids at the altar of your career. Don't do that. Remember, you have a God-given assignment from God to be the keeper of the home, to raise your children, to love your husband. And I think that should be the number one priority of every wife and mom. So wives, apart from your relationship with God, your number one priority in life is to be the best wife and mom you can be to your family. Everything else is secondary. And you know what? Regardless of what this society says, I think the best job a wife and a mom can have is being a keeper of the home. I think it's the best job and should be looked on that way. I'm not saying you can't be the president of the country. But what I am saying is this, that pales in comparison to your role as a wife and mom. Understand that. Put it in perspective. Okay? So, your attitude should show in this. So wives, remember that. However, a husband should work with his wife as a team when it comes to managing the home. Now, in our home, with Christy and I, she's got certain things that she's good at. I've got certain things I'm good at. So we work together. A lot of times I do the shopping. I do the food shopping. Why? Because I can zip through the store real quick, get what we need, boom, 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 and done. We're right to the house, and we save about $50 when I go. Just kidding. But you know what? She does things for me that, help me in what I have to do. If I need something typed up or I need her to do some correspondence for me, or something else like that. She does a lot of work for me. And so we work as a team. And that's how you should be with your family, husbands. You know, if your wife has to work outside the home, then take some of the responsibilities at home and work with her. Okay? And I think that would really be a big blessing. Don't expect her to do everything and. And so the fourth thing, she doesn't openly criticize or argue with her husband. Now, this is a big one. This is a big one. Wives, don't go around trashing your husband to people. Don't go around criticizing your husband to others. Build him up to other people. Don't knock him down in front of other people. That's not building him up. That's not helping his confidence. And it is a sign that you are not right with God. It's serious. I cringe when I hear wives criticize their husbands and knock them down in front of others. Now, if you want to express your feelings about what your husband's doing and you want to talk to someone, well, you can talk to the pastor's wife or another godly person that you trust won't go blabbing it to everyone else, and confide in them some of the things that are bothering you. And realize that everyone has faults. And you need to lift your husband up and guard him from destruction by not criticizing him or arguing with him in public. If you want to talk to him about some of his problems, and you probably will, do it in private. That's the best way. Okay? Christy and I, when we counsel young people, we don't need to hear all the faults of one another, of each other. We don't need to. We're going to give you biblical counsel, and that's what's necessary, that you get the biblical counsel you need. Not that we know every fault you have or your husband has. One lady called me up years ago and asked if I would counsel her husband. And I said, well, sure, I'd be happy to. Well, then she proceeded to give me a long list of all the things that were wrong with him so I could help fix him. Well, that's not what it's all about.